everybody. This is episode 400 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Vizhnez. And despite it being the 400th episode, I'm not going to be doing anything special. I do want to start off with just an acknowledgement of the horrendous, despicable, I don't even know how to describe it, act that happened in Vegas. I don't want to talk too much about it because that's not what the show is about. And you have heard about it plenty on the news and elsewhere, and there's nothing I can add to the conversation. There's nothing that can be said to make it all better. I you know, it's just one of those situations where you can't help but feel helpless, and you look at it and you think, wow, this is terrible. How can we stop this from happening again? And there's really no answer to that, because if you look at what happened at Sandy Hook and when 24 or so young children were murdered horribly, and nothing came out of that, what can really change? How can anything change if that did not bring about change? And, you know, we had the nightclub shooting in Orlando. It's just, in a way, it's part of life at this point, and who knows what will change. You know, all I can say is I'm sad that it happened, and I would love it if stuff like it never happened again, but who knows? Because one of the biggest problems with things like this is that we collectively spend so much time thinking about how it happened and playing the blame game and trying to find things to blame and organizations or each side politically finger pointing, and not really spending enough time asking why. Why did he do this, and what can be done to prevent it from happening, whether it is gun control or increasing mental health awareness and how much money is put into mental health. And just mental health in general is just something that really needs to be improved, and the programs available and all that really need to be increased significantly. But, and this is a weird thing, and I just feel like part of why mental health is not given the same care and concern as physical health and, say, dental health as well, is just because it's not as profitable in the current, I don't know. But moving on to games and whatnot. So if you listen to Pixelated Radio, you're going to hear pretty much the same stuff, or at least I'm going to be talking about the same things, but I want to hit everything again because, given the technical issues that happened while I was talking, and just, I don't know, I cannot, me and Pixelated Radio is just a weird relationship where I just am the sarcastic quipper, and when I try to get serious, I just see the video of my fellow hosts looking disinterested, and I'm just like, why am I even bothering? We've already been talking for a good while. When it's my turn to hit what I've been playing, I'm just like, okay, well, all right, I guess never mind. So I'm going to be talking about some Switch games, and you'll be surprised that I'm talking about Switch games, because when's the last time I talked about Switch, at least games I have been playing? So I'm going to start with a little game called Konga Master Party. And this is a game where you are a dancing fiend. You can pick who you play, and they will differ in ability. The four different abilities that your dancer can have are your speed of movement, your ability to turn quicker or not, how large your radius is to attract other dancers to your conga line, and how quickly you can get people to join your conga line, how great of a dance you are, you say, or whatever. And the goal of the game in the single player story mode is to collect a certain number of dancers by dancing close to them until you have collected enough of the four types. And I believe there's hearts. So I guess those are just people who love to dance or just lovers in general. Glasses, sunglasses. So those must be the cool cats. And there's the top hats, which I don't know if that's supposed to be, oh, these are the fancy, fancy, hoity-toity dancers or whatnot, but maybe. I think that might be a line. And then there's the light bulbs. So those are your nerdy guys who really still like to dance, even though they're nerdy. Do you like these voices I'm doing? And once you collect enough of each type, you will get a little notification that the exit is open. And then you will take your conga line there, or you could keep collecting ones if you want, but you have a momentum meter which slowly decreases, and it builds up as you collect dancers and builds up faster and more substantially if you get combos, if you collect dancers in a rapid pace. But if you don't collect enough dancers before your momentum depletes, you will fail the level and have to redo it. But once you finish and collect all these things, you go to the exit, and then there's a little thing between levels where a UFO is sucking up all of your dancers, and you are jumping over pigs and gaining little dollars, which you use to spin a little wheel that will give you maybe a potential power-up or unlock new characters. So, the way the game controls is a lot like Snake, and you only use the left and right trigger. And that basically rotates your character on a 360 axis, either left or right. And what you're doing is you're dancing around these various people in the areas, and you are increasing your conga line. And the longer it is, the easier it is to collect other dancers. You want to avoid certain people like bouncers and custodians, janitors, who are mopping the floor. And if you cross over their little recently mopped area, you will move really, really quickly and potentially run into people. So if you run into someone, their meter that is building up of them potentially joining your line will completely deplete, and you will have to re-dance around them and get your jig on. You also want to... I'm not sure how the pigs work, because there are pigs you can collect, and I'm not sure what the hell the point of them is. And there is also, I believe, a secret cat in each level, which if you get, he gives you a huge momentum boost, and, you know, who doesn't want to get a cat in their little dancing line? But that is really all you do in the story mode, and it's not, I finished it, it's maybe an hour at max, or say 2 hours, given how many times you may probably fail, you potentially will fail. And it's just not all that fun. There is also an endless mode to just see how many people you can get in your conga line before your momentum bar depletes. And that's just more of the same. And the single player content of the game is really not all that fun. The music is fine. The visuals are classic pixel art at this point. But the gameplay is... just it gets tedious within minutes of first playing it. And I am someone who loves Snake, but the fact that you're just dancing around these people and that's it is really boring. Because while there are those obstacles, the certain people that you want to avoid, and occasional bananas all over these floors because that janitor mops up the floor but he doesn't ever pick up the garbage. At least he picks up all garbage except banana peels, because, you know, all the other garbages won't affect your dancing, but banana peels, whoo, that'll affect you. But it's just, it's sad to be this down on a game, or it's sad that it's as boring as it is, but I really just did not enjoy any of it. And so where I think what it really wants to emphasize, or where it wants to draw people in, is with the multiplayer content. And there are 8 different modes, I believe. And while they're more fun, or the thing is, they're not that much fun. It just is inherently more fun to play a game with another person, usually, in most cases. If, you know, if there's multiplayer involved, if it's a not great game, it still is better when playing with another person. But the modes they have aren't all that great. There's one where you're just collecting dancers along with another person, and as you're doing it, you can get a little scissor power up that will allow you to cut the other person's line. There's one where you are running around for the pigs and you're building up your line to get as long as possible, and then when the time runs out, you must fight each other in your lines, which isn't great. There's maybe one of the more interesting modes is where you are working together with another person to collect lines, but you have to communicate so that you're not navigating in the wrong place. So that's kind of interesting, and that one's only two players. It's 2 to 4 players, the multiplayer modes, and I kind of like that one. And then there is another one where you are trying to get the attention of a single dancer, which is all right. I mean, the multiplayer modes are fun for a moment, but there's no real longevity to the game. When I think about the various multiplayer and party-esque games I have for the Switch, or that have been released for the Switch, I really wouldn't put Konga Master Party up there with any of that. I would never choose it unless I was playing with people for dozens of hours and we were just like, okay, we've exhausted what we have for right now. What else do we get? Oh, Konga Master Party, let's play it. But if that's not the case, I really can't recommend picking it up. It's $10. So if it does sound interesting to you, maybe check it out. I don't know. Yeah, I'd recommend watching some videos of it beforehand, but it just was a disappointing, boring ride. And I was super excited for it. I got the press release for it, and I looked at it, and I'm like, read up on it, and I just thought, oh my god, this is probably going to be real fun. And then it wasn't, and it was heartbreaking. But moving on, another game I have been playing on my Switch is Beach Buggy Racing, which is a kart racer that originally came out on iOS, probably Android as well. Then it came out on PS4 and Xbox One, and now it is available on the Switch. And people may be thinking, why would I pick up any kart racer other than Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, or whatever the hell it's called, on a Switch? Why would I ever pick up another kart racer other than the Mario Kart series? Because the Mario Kart series is the best kart racer. And that's a valid argument. But I would like to counter with, one, you probably have played a crap load of Mario Kart. Maybe you want something else, some new characters, some new tracks and stuff like that. And two, and this is a more important number, it's only $10 as opposed to $60 for Mario Kart. So that's a big thing. And then on top of that, I think if you are someone who doesn't have access to playing with other people frequently, and I haven't tried I'm assuming there's online play for Mario Kart 8, but I haven't messed with online with the Switch because I don't even want, I don't know, I just feel like it would be a nightmare whether or not I'm trying to voice chat or not. But I think Beach Buggy Racing has a much more compelling single player mode and just single player content in general, because as opposed to Mario Kart, where you're just doing these various cups and these whatever four race cups and seeing how you do in the various levels, 50cc, etc., 100, 150, 200. There's an actual campaign career mode in Beach Buggy Racing where you are progressing through these various tournaments, and each tournament is made up of about 12 races, which vary from regular races to elimination races, time trials, and then various versions of point, high score racking up. That sounds really weird, but where you have to either destroy targets with a projectile or by running through them and hitting various other racers as well to score a certain amount of points before the timer runs out. And you're doing all this, you're collecting coins, which you use to purchase upgrades for your vehicles, and you will unlock in each tournament. There is a quote-unquote boss character who, when you beat them, you unlock them to use as your racer, and each racer has their own unique power-up. So one of them is a guy, it's like a, I don't know what he is, I think he's like a surfer dude, and what he does is, his special power is he just lets out a bunch of beach balls everywhere, and if you come into contact with a beach ball, you will go flying in the air, and this is great for sharp turns where if you hit it, then you will just go up in the air and out of bounds, and that will definitely hurt your time if you get into that situation. And the thing about these special abilities is that you can only use them once per race. So another one has a kind of boost power. One has a disco ball, which makes the other cars go slower and, get into the disco vibe. But the thing that I hate about those boss battles is that while you can only use your ability once per race, when you're in these boss battles, they can use it as many times as they want. And some of them are more frustrating than others. So that beach dumping dude, his race is very, very annoying because he can spit that out maybe three times, four times in one lap. And those are frustrating because he lets out a good two dozen or so beach balls, maybe more. And that is really, really annoying. But the thing is, I mean, all that aside, you know, and how much content of the single player, it's just a really solid racer. The controls and all that are good. It's not the greatest racer in the world, but it's a really fun game to play. And I never really got into it until it's been on the Switch. And I think it's just because it feels at home on the Switch. It looks great on the small screen, on the actual handheld device. It feels good with the Joy-Con controllers. So instead of having whatever motion controls or on-screen touch controls with an iOS device, with a mobile device. And yeah, I really, really like it. And I'm blown away by how much content is actually in it, because I never really paid attention when I played it on Xbox One or anything, or on iOS, how much actual content is in it. So for $10, you're going to get way more than your money's worth with it. And I just, like, if you are a kart racing fan, I think there's no reason not to pick it up, regardless of whether you have played or, you know, constantly play Mario Kart. I think it's a great addition to Mario Kart, and something that any kart racing fan should pick up. And even if you don't have a Switch, if you have a PS4 or Xbox One, definitely check it out, because you don't have as many options on those platforms. So yeah, that's been a very pleasant surprise, and it's a surprise more so than anything that I have enjoyed a Switch game or playing a game on my Switch as much as I have. I've played way more of that than I expected, and I just love. I really love that there's more reason to play solo in the game, and it's not as frustrating. There are blue shell equivalents, but nothing that is so frequent or annoying that you just feel like, well, I might as well just not be in first place because I'm just going to get destroyed. And then last, I want to talk about Semispheres, which is a puzzle game where it's always split screen, and on both sides of the screen, one is blue, one is orange. It's the same exact area with slight variations of enemy placement and various power-ups. And what you're trying to do is, and you're controlling both of these little squid characters simultaneously, and you're trying to reach a little circular foggy area, both characters there to complete a level. And you'll have to help each other out by distracting enemies and moving between various areas, because at points later on in the game, you'll be able to switch sides with different power-ups and stuff like that. And it's just, it's a solid puzzle game. It's not very long. It's maybe like 3 hours. It's also $10. And there's not much replay value. There's not much reason to play it again once you finish it. But it is, it's a really solid puzzle game. And what I like most about it is that, for me at least, it never was too taxing on my brain. It may take me a few minutes to figure out what I needed to do on the more taxing, the more difficult levels. But once I figured it out, it was easy to get it done, And it wasn't as difficult as other games where you control two characters simultaneously to control both of these little squid things at the same time. And, you know, you could also get a friend to help you out and play it together, which is fun. And it's back. I can't remember, because it also came on PS4, which is where I played it first, if you could use two controllers and do co-op or not, or if you just had to share the DualShock and one person uses one analog stick and one uses the other. But with this, since it's on two different Joy-Cons, you can play it co-op much more easily, if that is the case. But it's a solid puzzle game, and anyone who's into puzzlers should definitely check it out, because it's a fun little game. And then, last but not least, I just want to talk about Pinball FX3, which came out a week or less ago. And it's a visual improvement over Pinball FX2, especially with the brand new tables, which are E.T., Jaws, and Back to the Future, part of the Universal Movie Collection. And what they've added to the game over the previous version, and I don't know why they couldn't have, and maybe it's just that it would be too much of an update and they just figured, why not do a whole new version? It's not a big deal anyway, because all of your tables, except for a few that I'm guessing are not in there because of licensing issues, they transfer over for free. You don't have to rebuy the tables you already purchased in previous versions. But you get that visual upgrade, and then on top of that, there's a new sort of XP reward system in place and a challenge mode. So in the challenge mode, you have various challenges to see how high of a score you can get with a single ball, how well you can do in 5 minutes, and then I think another higher amount of time or something else. And then as you play through a pinball table, the more you play it, you get the more rewarded you get, and the various power-ups you get will increase in power as well as you gain XP. I don't know if it's XP, if they call it XP, but XP in a sense. And so there are things where, like, you'll get more points for hitting bumpers, you'll get more points for skill shots, you will get a longer time for the ball save feature. So if you lose a ball fairly early on when you first launch it, that time frame will increase, that time period. And, I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about it. The pinball gameplay is super fun. I love it. I've always loved pinball games. They're just a lot of fun and simple and easy to do. I mean, they're pretty straightforward. I'm not that great at them, because one of the key features to super pinball playing, or like real, like the best of the best, really know how to work the tilt functionality, the tilting of a table. And I just can't get, I cannot wrap my head around tilting. It just never works for me. I'm just gonna over tilt it, and it's gonna be a dead ball, and I'm just gonna be like, why even bother? But I just have fun playing the tables, and I don't really concern myself with trying to get the highest score or beat my friends, because that will never happen, because I'm not that good at it. I'm not a skilled pinballer. But if you like pinball, there's no reason not to play the game. You get Sorcerer's Lair for free. The base game of it is free. And then you can try out tables and then purchase the ones that you'd like to pick up or not. So that's cool. And there might be discounts for people who have never been a part of the Pinball FX family. So I think they might have bigger packages and bundles with six or 10-ish or maybe somewhere in that ballpark. Tails at an even bigger discount than usual. So definitely worth checking out. It's on PS4 and Xbox One and PC, I believe. And like I said, the base game is free with Sorcerer's Lair for free. And then you can pick up tables as you so desire. And the new tables from the Universal Studios pack, they're really good. I really, really like the Jaws table, oddly enough. I say oddly enough because I'm just not a huge Jaws fan or anything. The Back to the Future table is nice. It's fun. It's just, it's really busy, and there are, it's just, there are too many multiple ways. There are too many ways of getting multiballs in that game. I got, I think, 4 different types of multiballs in one go, and I was losing my mind. I know that multiballs are good for you because you're getting multiple balls and be able to score more points, and it's more sort of just more security. So if you lose a ball, you still have 2, and then you lose another one, you still have that 1. And they, you know, for a period, they keep shooting out more balls. Balls. But whenever that happens, I'm not excited. I just become very, very stressed. I find that to be one of the most stressful parts of any pinball game. Because I just, like, I can't look anywhere other than at the flippers. And I'm just flipping. And I'm just trying to keep the balls in play. I'm not looking at where they're going or trying to be somewhat accurate or trying to hit anything in particular. I'm just like, don't lose these balls. I don't want to lose my balls. But I, you know, inevitably do lose my balls, just like in real life. But yeah, the Back to the Future table is definitely more geared towards super high scores. It hands out points like crazy. One of the things I don't really like about the new tables, and I don't think it was in any of the remastered tables from previous versions, but I felt like the way the text and the size of it they show you for the numbers when you score points is larger and more distracting than in the other tables, or it may just have been my imagination. I don't know. And also, this isn't a huge problem because it's not going to happen that frequently, but if you're playing the game, this is on Xbox One, if you get an achievement, the achievement notification comes up right where the bottom bumpers are. So if that ball is coming down, you could get screwed in that very, very rare situation. But it could happen. It happened to me. It was very frustrating. But Pinball FX3, fantastic. It's more pinball goodness. And they know pinball. Still waiting for them to get the Ninja Turtle license, because then I would just be in heaven. But that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And hope you all are having a wonderful day, despite the awfulness that has happened today. But yeah, once again, I'm your host, Mark Krishnez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Minimalist, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm TheKush3. The site is, of course, PixelatedSausage.com. And that's where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, as well as the art I do and occasional writings. If you'd like to see all the art of mine in one place, you can go over to pxsart.com and check it out there, where you can see it all and get links to where you can purchase prints for the pieces you like. And I think I'm going to try and maybe do a piece that is somewhat reminiscent of the Vegas strip, and then donate any of the proceeds of that to, I don't know, I'm sure there will be things that will be popping up very soon for them, you know, other than just American Red Cross, of course. Donate blood if you are in the Vegas area, or if you're anywhere, because donating blood is always a good thing, especially if you have a desirable blood type. And then if you'd like to support the site in general, please go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way with a buck or two a month, if you like. But in this moment, with this horribleness in Vegas and the recent natural disasters, if you only have a few bucks to spare, donate it to a more noble cause and people who really need it, instead of me and my stupid site with a name that makes no sense and I will never change. But that will do it. Once again, So yes, have a wonderful day, everyone. Bye bye. That was a very, that bye bye was lacking. So let me try one more time. Bye bye.